Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. I actually just recorded an episode and then decided to make it into shorter chunks. So I'm going to talk about three different interesting points made by a great expert on a great outlet for real information. Unfortunately, there's just not much anymore. Even when really interesting things are elephant in the room and kind of the next question to be asked, mainstream media simply won't even ask follow-up questions to try to make connections. Mainstream media is just the best place to learn how not to think and how not to have anybody else think even for you to help present conclusions. There will be elephant in the room questions, and they just simply won't be asked. So what I'm talking about is a Joe Rogan Experience. In my opinion, the new Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM was this incredible chance to listen to an expert to 1 to 2 to 3 hours and really get to delve into their expertise and give them enough time for you to dig in with all kinds of questions. Joe Rogan has now shown that George Norrie has let that show slip. George is fine, but he's not the interviewer Art was. But just show that as George has probably let that audience slip, I've got to guess their audience numbers are down compared to the peak. There is still a market for that because Joe is now having experts on pretty scientific stuff for 2.5 hours. So three things I'm going to mention from the episode recently from John Abramson. So John Abramson used to be a family practitioner, and many years ago, he started to understand some cockamamie stuff. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said cockamamie. That was happening with drug studies, and I can't remember which one he was seeing at the time. You'll have to listen to the episode that made him wonder, and he said, I've got to just devote full time to this, and he's been involved with understanding drug study litigation material and being an expert on the litigation side. And he has also lectured at Harvard, things like this. So the episode's very, very good. There are about 4 points that I think are really, really important. And let's see if I can think of all of them off the top of my head. One is a way that they fiddle with data. One is the transparency of data. I mean, it's bad. Another is, I forgot the third one, but that's okay. We'll do separate episodes. So the first one is this. The first one is that I knew full well, because you can go look at it, find it in the history of HIV. You can find it in the history of even like Food and Drug Administration, you know, safety stuff for like chemicals, like in my Monsanto episode, that delves deeply into many a study and the shenanigans that they pull with studies. But I did not know this about the studies. This is huge, huge. Joe was practically flabbergasted, and I just never knew this. I knew many a shenanigan happened. But I did not know that peer review in an article, so the journal articles get made based on the alleged studies that were done, and whether or not they did shenanigans with a study, the peer review does not have access to the main data. The very peer reviewers, when you hear peer review, you think it's independently peer reviewed. It is not. Independent peer review is a mirage of a term, in that the independent peer reviewers are only looking for internal consistency with what the drug company presented in their journal article. This is kind of amazing. So they don't get access to the data to go, why did you think that that was the conclusion to make? They also don't get access to the data to twist it, look at it in another statistical way to say, yeah, I know you said this. You presented this way in your article, but what about this, this, and this? So without access to the actual data, there is no crowdsourced or peer-reviewed true review of the data. It's simply whether or not it is internally consistent. I have an analogy for this because I've worked in the corporate world. I do have a law background as far as education. I've never practiced all the way up to Juris Doctor and broadcasting as well. But I've worked in broadcasting in the corporate world, and then also in the public sector. And in the public sector, if you have a giant IT project, and whenever there's a big project, what the public sector does is act like there's no need to have the highest levels of consultants and expertise as someone in the building. Instead, they use outside firms and they pay twice to three times as much easily as they would have paid those folks had they just cultivated the expertise inside the building. So these are called, I'll say for lack of a better term, this doesn't account for all of them, but independent validation and verification. These are just, as you have a big giant project, you're going to have a number of firms with different expertise to understand the health of the IT project. And in one case, it can be a firm that is more familiar with testing. Because remember, public sector, those folks might be most familiar with how a program, a public program to help citizens works, as opposed to how to monitor and understand a project. So there can be experts that understand the testing part. And I'm familiar with these types of groups, work with these types of groups. And then I noticed the analogy here to this idea that the peer reviewers don't get access to the actual data. They just, in essence, look for the internal inconsistencies or consistencies within the journal article. So my analogy is that these people are paid a lot for these public sector IT projects. It can cost tens to hundreds of millions of dollars on the taxpayer dime. And these folks do work. I mean, they try something, but often they are just looking on a high level of, say, test cases. If you build anything, you end up having to have test cases to see if what you designed is what is actually working and what got built. But these people who are the separate, independent monitors of these test cases, they may only look on a high level, on the highest of levels, like, okay, what are you reporting as far as the number of test cases, and what is the health of the project in a test case way? Like, did you build descriptions into your test cases? What are the summary? What is the amount that is passed at this point versus what it's supposed to be? Are you keeping up with consistently filling in your fields? But what they don't do is necessarily go see whether the test cases were actually written well. Did the test cases really test what they're supposed to test? Or did they not even really align the test cases to what the build is supposed to look like? So that's the analogy. It's really mind-blowing, and it is another, there are about 4 to 5 to 6, if you corrected them tomorrow, problems with the system that would really help on both a government level, on a corruption level, and on a and then as a subset of that, in a healthcare level, in cost and effectiveness. We've talked about many of those on different episodes. For instance, the idea that you don't have to have a drug or a technology that's any more effective in order for it to get approved and then for you to be able to bill at a higher level. It can only be as effective as an aspirin, to use a simple analogy. But if you get to, if you can get it approved by the FDA and you say, oh, this is the new fancy stuff, and it costs $10,000 per dose, not a penny. If you can get the FDA approve it, then you can bill Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, I don't know those. I'm a little confused on that. But one or the other, the government will allow a bill that is, rather than cents, it's $10,000. Because there is no requirement for cost to be proportional to effectiveness. So that's one of the, if you turn that around tomorrow and said, you can build all the fancy stuff you want and market the shit out of it if you want, but if it's no more effective than an aspirin, as to government payment, that's all you're getting. So see how that would drive efficiency. And instead we incentivize the opposite. And this is another one, to simply not have the transparency of the data and saying it's proprietary. Guys, it's not proprietary. Your formula is proprietary. You know, it's like this. It's like the defense when things are redacted and they clearly are redacting too much. It's like, no. Identities of agents and, you know, internal memorandum on what your process is and where your safe houses are. Those types of things are what has to be redacted, not reports on a very important historical event and all the facts of what happened out in the middle of the world where an event was. Your findings on that are not national security, and it's ridiculous to argue it. So by the same token, no, it's not proprietary for your safety data. Your formula's proprietary. Your safety data off the studies are the most relevant and only relevant things for the FDA. You don't get to hide the data, but we do allow them to. The amount of solution that would give us by simply saying, of course you have to give the number of participants and that we have to know the number before and the number by the time you're presenting the study. And if the number is any less, we have to have transparency to why the number of participants is any less. And we have to see if it's less, we have to know the data all the way to the point when that person left the study and why they left the study and what their health conditions were at the time they left the study. That is the relevant safety data. There's no proprietary argument there. Okay, that's just one from John Abramson's interview off of Joe Rogan. I've got about two or three others. I'll make those as separate episodes. Again, this is a pretty recent one, but it is John Abramson. And as usual, Joe is not a high academic, but he does answer follow-up questions. This is what I said about Coast to Coast AM. The problem with George is he acts like he doesn't know from other fields and other experts. He could easily start to synthesize this knowledge and not act like he doesn't have background that is relevant to ask somebody else. So we start to get a hierarchy of the best arguments. You know, say, hey, well, I hear you, Sally, on Coast to Coast, but, you know, Joe says this about this concept. And it would really knock down your argument here. What do you have to say to that? George does not try to synthesize that knowledge. Joe will try to synthesize the knowledge. And in that regard, he's using, I'll say, I guess it's not a scientific method, but it's a memory. Like, you know, news doesn't have any institutional memory. It's garbage. Joe does a great job of that. Not being an academic, it doesn't matter. He's trying to be an honest investigator. So Joe does a great job with that. That's one of the things off that John Abramson interview. Highly recommended. And I'll have a couple other. Thanks for listening, guys.